Chapter 8. Burnin Wood comes to Dunsinane. In another part of the castle, Macbeth waited for news. He knew that the army from England was marching toward Dunsinane. He also knew that Lennox had gone over to the other side to fight against him. However, none of this seemed to disturb the king. "Until Burnin Wood comes to Dunsinane, I have nothing to fear," Macbeth told himself. "What is that boy, Malcolm? Wasn't he born of a woman? The spirit said, 'Fear not, Macbeth. No man that is born of a woman will ever have power over you. Run away, false thanes. Go and join the English. I have nothing to fear.'" A messenger from the field then entered the room where the king waited. Macbeth noted the man's pale face and trembling body. "What is that look for?" roared Macbeth at the young man. "There are thousands of soldiers," said the messenger. "What soldiers? Those white cheeks of yours speak of fear. What soldiers, pasty face?"
"The English force, your majesty."
"Get out of here," stormed the king. Then he yelled, "Satan!"
Satan, the king's servant, quickly came into the room and asked,
"What is your pleasure, my lord? What news?"
"The reports, my lord, are true."
"I'll fight until they cut the flesh from my bones. Give me my armor."
"It is not needed yet."
"I'll put it on. Get it."
Then Macbeth noticed the doctor standing by the door of the room. The doctor had a worried look on his face.
"How is your patient, doctor?" the king asked.
The doctor stepped further into the room and told the king,
"She is troubled in her sleep. She cannot rest well."
"Cure her," ordered Macbeth. "Can't you do anything for a diseased mind? Take out whatever sad memory is rooted there."
Then, remembering that he had asked for his armor, Macbeth turned again to Satan.
"Put my armor on. Then send the horses out to call more men, Satan. If any are afraid to come, hang them. All of the thanes run from me, but I will not be afraid of death until Burnin Wood comes to Dunsinane."
Not far from the castle, Malcolm and Siward met with the thanes who would fight beside them. Among those gathered in the wood were Macduff, Lennox, and Ross. Siward asked one of the thanes, "What wood is this?"
"The wood of Burnham," answered the Scottish noble.
Malcolm was then struck with an idea. "Tell every soldier to cut a branch from the trees. He will carry it in front of him. In this way, we can hide our true numbers from our host." Immediately, one of the soldiers went off to see that the plan was carried out. Inside the castle, Macbeth walked in an empty corridor, thinking to himself. "They still come," he thought to himself. "But our castle is strong. Let them beat the walls while we wait in safety here. They will never reach us. If they were not helped by those false-hearted thanes, I would go out and meet them face to face. Then I would beat them back to their home in England."
Suddenly, a woman's scream rang through the castle's corridors. Macbeth stood in horrified wonder at the sound.
"Satan!" called the king.
After a few moments, the faithful servant came hurrying toward the king. Even as he approached, the king saw the frightened look on his servant's face.
"What was that cry?" asked Macbeth.
Falling to one knee before the king, Satan said, "The queen, your majesty, is dead." The news seemed to knock the breath from Macbeth's body. Satan slowly rose to his feet as he waited for the king to recover. Speaking more to himself than to his servant, Macbeth said, "She should have died later. This news would have been better then. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow comes without stopping from day to day to the end of time. All of our yesterdays only lit the way to death for fools. Out, brief candle. Life is but a walking shadow. We are poor actors who walk and worry an hour on the stage and then are heard no more. Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing."
A young messenger found Macbeth and Satan. Seeing the young man, Macbeth did his best to pull himself back together.
Your story quickly, ordered the king.
My lord, the messenger began, but then stopped. He looked from the king to the servant and then back again.
I should report what I saw, continued the messenger, but I do not know how to do it.
Say it, sir, said Macbeth. Swallowing to give himself courage, the messenger then spoke.
I was standing watch on the hill, my lord. I looked toward Burnham, and then I thought the wood began to move.
Liar, roared Macbeth.
Bowing his head, the messenger said, I swear it is true, my lord. You can see it for yourself. It is not more than 3 miles from the castle. I say it is a moving wood.
If you're lying, growled Macbeth, you'll find yourself hanging on the next tree.
Then the blood and anger seemed to drain from the king's face. In a quieter voice, he said, But if your words are true, I don't care if you hang me.
To himself, Macbeth thought, Fear not until Burnham Wood comes to Dunsinane, and now a wood comes.
Seeing the confused and wondering faces of the men before him, Macbeth shook off his fear. In his royal voice he ordered,
Get your arms. If this is true, we can neither run nor wait. Ring the bell. Blow, wind. Come, storm. At least we will die fighting.
Then Macbeth went to gather his army for war. Outside the castle, the English army and its Scottish supporters met Macbeth's army. Charging into battle, Macbeth thought, I cannot run. I must fight the course. But who is he that was not born of a woman? Only this man I need fear, or none at all.
Then a voice called to Macbeth, Turn, devil of hell, turn!
Macbeth looked to find Macduff charging toward him. Of all men in the battle, called out Macbeth, only you have I avoided. The blood of your family is already too much on my hands.
With hardly a pause before striking, Macduff yelled, I have no words. My voice is my sword, you bloody villain.
The swords of the two men rang out with a loud noise as they hit together. Both seemed to fight with unnatural energy. Macbeth warned his hot-blooded enemy, You waste your effort. It is as easy to harm the air around us as it is to make me bleed. Go and fight men you might actually beat. I lead a charmed life, which cannot be lost to any born of a woman.
Macduff gave Macbeth a bitter smile and told his enemy, Give up your faith in your charm. Let the angel that you yet serve tell you the truth. Macduff was ripped out of his mother before the time to be born.
The shock of Macduff's words gave Macbeth pause. Trying his best to escape his enemy without getting killed, Macbeth said, I will not fight you. The king's surprising change of heart caused Macduff to momentarily stop his attack. As he stood surprised, he said, If you will not fight, then yield, coward. We will tie you to a pole and paint you for show. We will put a sign around your neck that reads, Here you can see the tyrant. Such an image spurred Macbeth's angry passion to return. I will not yield, he told Macduff. I will never kiss the ground at young Malcolm's feet. I will fight to the last, even though Burnham Wood comes to Dunsinane. I will fight you even though you are no woman born. Come, Macduff, damned be the one that first cries, Hold, enough!
Then both men crashed their swords together again.
Before the sun had set behind Dunsinane, the battle was over. Macbeth's army was defeated. Siward and the thanes who had fought beside him met in front of the castle gate. There, each man reported all he had seen on the field of battle that day. Siward learned that his son had been killed. His heart was heavy with the news, but the English general was also proud that his son had fought bravely in the war. Then Macduff arrived to join the men by the gate. In his hand, he carried Macbeth's head.
Hail, King, Macduff called to Malcolm. See here that I have the cursed head of our enemy.
Macduff threw the head that he carried at Malcolm's feet. All of those gathered at the gate appeared too shocked to speak.
Macduff said to those around him, I see that everyone here greets me in his mind. But now I want to hear your voices along with mine. Hail, King of Scotland!
Everyone took up the cheer with Macduff. "Hail, King of Scotland!" they cried as they bowed toward Malcolm. Malcolm was deeply touched with love and pride at hearing the cheers of the men who had fought to help him take back the throne. "My thanes and kinsmen," he said, "from this day on you will be earls. You will be the first in Scotland to be named with such honors. And we must call home all of our friends who left the country in order to escape the dead tyrant and his wicked queen. I have heard that she took her life by her own hands. There is much work to be done to heal this land. We will do our best. My thanks to you all, and I invite you to see us crowned at Scone." Of course, all who were there that day were happy to celebrate with the new young king on the day he was crowned at Scone.